And now, coming to you from the gleaming spires of Chicago, broadcasting throughout the multiverse, the Nine Realms, Niflheim, Svartalfheim, Olympus, Nidavellir, basically anywhere that has the internet, really, we proudly present Radio Free Asgard.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Radio Free Asgard. This is episode number 204 of the Only Thor podcast, hosted by a true descendant of Odin. My name is Tom Harris, and I'm coming to you from beautiful Chicago, Illinois. And this week, yeah, we're finally covering comics again. Hooray! After all of the rigmarole and coming up to the vacation and all that stuff. Yeah, we're back on track this week, folks. And as promised, we are going to start covering the I would say the current Thor series, except it's already been canceled. So the 8 issues of Girl Thor we're going to be covering over the next couple of months. But before we do that, I do have a couple of people to welcome to the Facebook group. The first being Jack Clark. Hello, Jack. And Jack comes to us about 3 weeks ago. And the other new member is none other than Ragnar Olafsson, who you all may remember from last episode. So welcome, Ragnar, and hope you enjoy the show. And feel free to chime in into our discussions, both of you, and let us know what you think. So anyway, not a whole heck of a lot of stuff to talk about here at the top of the show, other than to mention the fact that for once I wasn't the very last person on Earth to see a Marvel movie. I did see Ant-Man. Pete and I went to go see it this past week, and we liked it. We thought it was a really strong film. Now, it's different, and it's inconsistent. I will say that. There are parts of it that I like very, very much. And I like some of the stylistic touches. I love this character of Scott Lang's flunky who always talks about things in unnecessary detail, you know, because that's something I would do, you know. I really, really like that character. And all of the characters played, they had their part to play. And I thought it was a great film. I just thought it was a lot of fun. And I am sure that we'll be seeing Ant-Man in the Avengers 3. Let's hope. Let's hope we do, because I think that Paul Rudd did a very serviceable job as Scott Lang. His motivations are very clear. They had a good script. The only thing that I was a little disappointed by was Stan's cameo. You know, it was a little bit brief, but, you know, the guy's about 93, so, you know, he's not going to do big scenes. But anyway, yeah, so it was a fun film, and we saw it in 3D, which is awesome. You know, there are some films that you can't imagine being better in 2D, you know, and I think we talked about this earlier. I saw, Days of Future Past, of course, did not see that in 3D, and I think we saw something else recently, too, and I'm not remembering what it is off the top of my head. Oh, was it Guardians of the Galaxy? It might have been. Where the 3D would have added very little to it. I was glad that we saw Ant-Man in 3D because the 3D effects were very, very cool. Love the whimsicality of the movie. And don't have a whole lot else to say about it. I don't want to give away any spoilers, obviously, because I think there are probably still people out there who haven't seen it. Yeah, hopefully they'll all be this good, you know. I know not all of them are as good as others, but I think if they're all as good as Ant-Man, they'd be doing pretty damn well. Unfortunately, I know that it's inevitable that there's going to be a bomb at some point in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and I'm hoping it's not Doctor Strange, because I love the character of Doctor Strange, and I don't want to see that bomb. Maybe the Black Panther bomb, I don't know. I don't want to see any of them bomb, to be honest. Anyway, I am rambling at this point. So we do have an issue of Girl Thor to cover, so let's just go ahead and move along to our review.
Cross the rainbow bridge of Asgard, where the booming heavens roar.
Indeed, and this week we are looking at Thor number 1. Cover date is February 2015. Cover price is $3.99. Cover artist is Russell Dauterman and shows Girl Thor's face. So we have obviously a blonde woman wearing dark red lipstick, and she's got a fancy Thor's helmet on that covers her features. He can't tell who she is. And there's lightning crackling around. He's got an ugly, ugly new logo. God, I hate this. I hate this new logo. I have to say. All right. Yeah, I don't like it. But all right. It's different than the other one. So I guess it's okay. We open up to the splash page. Well, not really the splash page at this point, but we have a scene of, exposition, as it were. And our story starts in the Norwegian Sea with a submersible here from the Roxxon Oil Corporation. And they're diving deep into the ocean. And they're talking on the radio with somebody or other.
Home base to submersible. We read you at 2,000 fathoms and descending. You should be coming up on the seabed any second now. You seeing anything down there, guys?
Just a whole lot of black.
Home base, this is looking like a waste of time. We're at the coordinates for the anomaly, but our sensors are reading nothing. Must have been a malfunction on your part.
Our techs say negative on that.
And there's a anglerfish here.
There was definitely something big happening there a few minutes ago. The energy readings are off the charts.
Well, there's nothing here now. Request permission to...
Jerry, you may want to check your speed. Sonar is showing a series of ridges up ahead.
Ridges? There aren't any ridges on my charts.
Look at that. Jeez, it's like a whole mountain range. Full stop on all engines.
Submersible, we are reading possible seismic activity in your region. What's happening down there, fellas?
Oh, Jerry, is it just me or do those mountains look like they're moving?
And we turn the page and we see something approaching the submersible. And they're going, reverse engines, reverse! Ah!
Submersible, says the people on the radio.
Submersible, this is Roxxon Seabase. Come in.
We lost the signal. Did I hear somebody screaming?
Submersible, come in.
Their GPS is offline.
I swear I heard somebody screaming.
Perimeter alarms are going off. There's something moving in the trench.
It's their stub. Their comms must have been knocked out or...
Holy hell. And they see obviously something that we're not allowed to see yet.
Activating attack sharks.
And the psychic robot enhanced sharks come... You know, leaping out of like the sea base, and I guess they're going to attack whatever this is that's attacking them.
What the hell are you doing? That's our men out there.
Look at those sonar readings. Whatever the hell's coming up out of that trench, it ain't our men. Not unless they just gained a few thousand pounds.
And we see a blue hand reach out and smack the sea base, smack aside the sharks with a coom. And we see, you know, fish and squids and all that stuff kind of scattering around. And the people in the sea base don't look like they're all that concerned. But I guess that's just the... Somebody said just draw them standing around, I guess.
Those readings can't be right. That's like the Himalayas rising out of the deep.
Everybody calm down, okay? It's probably just another giant squid. The sharks will take care of it and we'll be eating calamari for months.
Whatever it is, it's getting closer. External temperature is dropping rapidly.
Go to high alert. I want all Aqua SWAT armed and ready. I want mines deployed. I want...
All the fish are swimming away. And we see a giant blue foot going, whoom, and it's kind of scattering all the fish around. And we have the guy, this African-American guy who I guess is the lab tech or whatever. He's like,
one of the attack sharks just flatlined. And another one. And another.
You feel that? The whole damn base is shaking.
This is Roxxon Offshore Drilling Station, Norwegian 5, officially requesting assistance. We are under attack. I repeat, we are under...
Oh, my God. And we get a double-page spread here, and we see that they're being attacked by blue giants. And they're big, and they got big, nasty-looking clubs, and they're got, like, elephant tusk necklaces, and they're coming right for that sea base. And it's actually a really, really nice two-page spread here. And then we come to the splash page.
Change has come to Asgard.
After a self-imposed exile, Odin the Allfather has returned to his former kingdom, now called Asgardia. But his wife Freya, who had been ruling Asgardia in his stead as the All-Mother, has no intention of letting things go back to the way they were before Odin left. The biggest change, though, is that their son Thor, the God of Thunder, now finds himself no longer worthy of wielding Mjolnir, his enchanted hammer. In a recent battle on the moon, super spy Nick Fury, empowered with secrets he stole from the Watcher, whispered something that caused Thor to drop Mjolnir to the moon's surface, where it has remained ever since. No matter how hard he tries, Thor cannot lift it. With the leadership of Asgardia uncertain and Thor now in a severely weakened state, it is only a matter of time before the enemies of Asgard strike, bringing doom to both the fabled realm and Earth itself. And we get the title of the story, If He Be Worthy, with writer Jason Aaron. Russell Dowderman was the artist. Matthew Wilson is the colorist, or the painter, really. VC's Joe Sabino was the letterer and production person. And we already talked about Russell Dowderman and Frank Martin were the cover artists. And I guess there were some, variant covers and stuff. We won't talk about that. John Moisan is the assistant editor. Will Moss is the editor. Axel Alonso is the editor-in-chief. Joe Quesada is the chief creative officer. Dan Buckley is the publisher. And Alan Fine is the executive producer. And then we get hand soap, 3-in-1, body wash, shampoo, and with Spider-Man on it. So, yeah, that's the ad we get. And now back to the story. The moon in the shadow of Asgardia. And so we see that, the Asgardian island is kind of floating over the moon. And people are kind of gathered around and they're watching Thor kind of sitting forlornly next to his hammer. He cannot lift it. And they're like, how long has he been like this?
Days, weeks, we are not certain. We only know that he does not eat, does not sleep, and he has only left this moon when forced to do so.
What has he said?
Nothing. He won't speak to anyone, except the hammer.
Perhaps he can ignore you, Freya, says Odin, but the boy will speak to his father.
And Odin comes up behind Thor.
Thor, thine imperial all-father Odin has returned to Asgardia and demands of thee answers. What absurdity hast thou allowed to befall thee here, boy? How is it possible that the Prince of Asgard, the one true god of thunder, the Odinson, has become unworthy?
And Thor is just staring at the hammer. He doesn't say anything at all.
Thor!
Says Odin. And the hammer just kind of sits there and remains, unmovable.
Please, Mjolnir, please move, says Thor.
And nothing happens. And Thor gets like a fit of rage and he's trying to pick it up and he's going, Rargh! And he can't lift it. He's kicking up a bit of moon dust, though.
That is all he does, day and night, says Freya.
Bah! 'Tis plain to see what has happened here. The boy has become bewitched by his enemies. The Enchantress, perhaps, or more likely his own brother.
If there is magic at work here, our own mages have been unable to detect it. I spoke with the mortal they call the Captain of America. He told of a great battle his Avengers fought here in the stars.
This is talking about Original Sin, which is where this storyline comes out of.
Their enemy has been imbued within powers and insights of the cosmic observer known as the Watcher. At some point during this battle, our son was left as you see. We know not what the enemy did to cause this.
Whisper, says Thor.
All he did was whisper. Whisper? Did he say whisper? What mere whisper could fell my son in air? Speak, boy. Tell me what words were said.
And we see this flashback to Fury whispering in Thor's ear, and you don't really get anything. You get a weird, symbol.
Yelling at him doesn't appear to be helping, dear husband, says Freya. Perhaps you should try talking for a change.
I suppose you would have me coddle the boy, Freya, as you have done. This is what happens when an all-mother is left in charge of Asgard. I have been away too long.
And yet the walls of Asgardia have not crumbled into dust. How strange.
A voice comes from behind.
With all due respect, your holinesses, perhaps it is not Thor who it is bewitched.
And it turns out to be Volstagg. We see the Warriors Three here, and Sif, and some chick with a mohawk, and people I don't recognize.
Just this morn, I myself tried to lift Mjolnir at Thor's insistence. Much to the shock of all assembled, even Volstagg the Valiant could not budge the weapon.
We all tried to lift it, says Fandral. None of us could.
If none may lift the hammer, says Hogun, perhaps the fault lies with the hammer.
It was your enchantment, was it not, O Allfather, that gave that thing the power to decide who was worthy, says Freya.
So it was, says Odin. Stand aside, boy!
And Odin advances on the hammer and reaches out to grab it, and he says,
This folly ends now,
And he tries to lift the hammer, and Odin can't lift the hammer either. Very interesting.
Grr, move, you bastard! Hunk of Uru! Odin commands thee!
Does this mean I've been coddling you as well? Says Freya.
I will have this stubborn hammer melted into slag! How dare it defy me!
No, he won't! I've complained about that before.
I am the way and the wrath and the wonder! I am him who speaks while galaxies obey!
And you have all this energy going off and kind of glowing around Odin, and Odin's trying to lift the hammer, but he's not having any luck.
It would appear the enchantment has grown beyond even the enchanter. Perhaps that is for the best. Worthiness should not be defined by the whims of magic weapons. Rise, my son, and let the hammer be damned. Rise and remember the hero that you are.
And we hear a cawing from off panel, and keep in mind we're on the moon. Anyway. And it's the ravens.
Hugin and Munin, says Volstagg. Lord Odin, your ravens. Begone, birds. I've enough annoyances to deal with as it is, says Odin.
And they land on him and they're whispering into his ears.
Jotun, Midgard, blood, blood, ice, blood ice, Jotun, Midgard, Midgard, Jotun.
And Odin's like, damn.
It would appear that the frost giants have invaded Midgard.
And so it begins, says Freya. I have feared this day would come.
What would you have us do, my liege?
Says Volstagg.
Return to Asgardia, says Odin. This is not our fight.
Ready the Bifrost. We march to war, says Freya.
What didst thou say? Says Odin.
What didst thou say?
They asked orders of their liege lord.
Aye, and she did answer.
Odin has returned, woman. There is no more need for an all-mother.
Now that Odin has returned, perhaps there is more need than ever before. Thor, where are you going, my son?
To the Hall of Weapons, says Thor. And then, home.
And he walks away into the dust of the moon here.
You all heard, my son, says Odin. Time to go home, back to Asgardia.
I do not think he meant Asgardia, says Freya. We should stop him. He has not rested for days, and without his hammer he cannot fly, or...
And you, says Odin, the fleeting age of the All-Mother has passed. Asgard will again be as it was for centuries, with Odin alone above all. It is time you remembered your place in that world, Freya.
And Odin goes stalking off, and leaves Freya behind. And Freya says,
yes, perhaps it is.
And we shift scenes, we're back in the ocean floor, back to the Roxxon plant or whatever it is, and we see the frost giants kind of milling around the ruined buildings, and there's dead Roxxon bodies floating in the water, and yeah, this kind of things are a mess, but there's a few Roxxon people left alive in one of the domes, and kind of watching what's going on outside.
I've seen those dive teams cut through Atlanteans like they were dolphins, and those giants just swatted them away.
All defenses are down. All subs disabled. Comms offline. Everything that isn't broken is frozen.
Giants? I still can't believe it. Where do things like that even come from?
The western mountains of Jotunheim, says a voice.
And we see a familiar face entering the room, and it is Malekith the Accursed, king of the Dark Elves, most powerful mage in all of Svartalfheim.
They are frost giants. The most vicious kind of giant in all the realms. They've been known to freeze stars and reduce entire armies to puddles of bloody slush. And you have something they want.
Where is it?
Where's what? Says the one guy. Egg! And he basically dissolves into fire.
He was being rather unreasonable, don't you think? Says Malekith. I imagine he regrets that now.
And Malekith goes to the next guy.
Where is it?
I don't know. I don't know what you...
And all of a sudden he's kind of encased in, I wouldn't say Kirby Crackle, but it's kind of flying red magic. And it looks like he's strangling to death here.
My, you Roxxon tradesmen are a willful and unruly lot. But I'm a patient elf. Where is... Whatever it is, I can find it, I swear. Ah, at last. A man of wisdom and courtesy. Please, good sir, work your magic for me. My friends out there lost something of great value long ago, something you and your guild have recently unearthed. As you can tell, my friends are quite eager to see its return.
Okay, okay. They found something in the deep, all right? They wouldn't tell us what. They took it away, but I can find it out where. Just please don't.
Just please don't what? Turn your eyes into red-hot ingots? Change your tongue into a flesh-eating eel? Why, the thought hadn't crossed my mind. And there's a giant thooming noise, and the guy's like, oh God, what's happening now?
Ah, it would appear that delightful little rumor I heard is actually true.
Wait, is that... No, it can't be. Where's his...
That little man is what a god looks like, once he's been utterly humiliated. And we see Thor underwater with a big axe in his hand. Looks like his, Gjallarhorn or whatever his axe from Thor God of Thunder was. Looks like the same one. And he's riding a very frightened-looking goat underwater, which, yeah, goats, obviously they're meant to be underwater. And one of these frost giants is chasing it. I like how they do the frost giants like these big blue giants, like Isad Rebic might draw, and then they put like these big lumps of ice all over them, which is, it's interesting because they're like tumors or something, but it looks like they're made of ice. And Thor comes bursting through the window. It's been, I guess, thrown there by the giants or whatever.
Or perhaps the humiliation has just begun, says Malekith. And Thor has crashed through the window, and there's water pouring in.
Malekith, says Thor, what dark pact have you made with these giants, you conniving elf?
Thor, good to see you as well, old friend. Correct me if I'm wrong, but there's something seems different about you. I can't quite place it.
And Thor is attacking Malekith with Zax, like, Rargh! And in the background, they get the Roxxon guy's like,
halt breach! Evacuate all sectors!
Oh God, oh God, oh God. Thor and Malekith are fighting, and Malekith is shooting magical bolts at Thor. Thor's trying to chop him in two with his axe.
The beard, perhaps? No, that's not it. Yes, definitely something different about you. It's right in front of my face, isn't it? I know that still. I can't quite place my finger on it.
And a big giant blue fist comes, smashes Thor to the ground with a croom. And Thor's like, erf.
Oh, yes. Now I see it. You've lost your little hammer.
And the giants are pounded on Thor, and Malekith is just kind of standing there gloating.
How terribly disappointing that must be for you. I know how you dearly love that hammer. But look at the bright side, Thor. Without that big heavy Mjolnir to lug around all the time, you've no need for so many cumbersome arms.
And Malekith raises his axe and with a shunk apparently chops off Thor's arm. And we see Thor's arm kind of there bleeding in the mud. And we see the guy, the Roxxon guy, drowning here.
I see you found what I was searching for. Well done. Breathe easy now, friend. I mean you no further harm.
And then the guy is just kind of floating there going glug.
Frost giants, would it never be said that Malekith is not an elf of his word? I have located your prize. Come, there is much more of Midgard for you to freeze and flatten.
And what of the godling? Says the giant.
Alas, he will not be joining us. I dare say we have seen the last of Thor.
And we see Thor's arm kind of bleeding there in the bottom of the sea. And we shift scenes to the moon, where we see Thor's hammer just sitting there in the middle of a crater. And a dark-robed figure approaches it. And a voice says,
there must always be a Thor.
And she, you can tell it's a female. It reaches down and grabs the hammer and lifts it. And the hammer is crackling with lightning. And we have the inscription. It says, whoever holds this hammer, if he be worthy, shall possess the power of Thor. And as it's lifted, the he changes into a she. And we see a full page illustration here of Girl Thor. And she was lifting the hammer above her head and has obviously transformed. And lightning shooting all around in space. And I guess they're in the blue area of the moon. That's the only thing I can figure is that there actually is atmosphere there. And that is Thor number one. And of course, we do have a few words to say about it. But first, a promo from one of our friends.
Hey, Kids Comics.
Hey, Michael.
Yeah?
We need to do a new promo.
A new one?
A new one.
Why?
Because we've moved.
We've moved to a new place. We still read comics.
We do, and we still talk about comics.
Because you can't do a comic book podcast unless you read and talk about comics, because that's kind of stupid. But now, we have a new episode still available every Thursday, but at twotruefreaks.libsyn.com.
Hey Kids Comics!
So remember, Hey Kids Comics has moved to twotruefreaks.libsyn.com. Still, every Thursday. That'll do, won't it?
And we are back, and of course we do have a few words to say about the issue. First of all, you know, as an introductory issue, it's all right. We have a lot going on in the issue, from, you know, all the conversation going on the moon between the various Asgardians. Is it just me, or is Odin not a character in this? Now, you know, it is kind of a, you know, hypothetical question here, because we don't really have examples of Jason Aaron writing Odin. Yeah, obviously, if you remember Thor: God of Thunder, we never saw Odin. He was never a character. And so we have Odin coming in, because kind of at the end of Original Sin, and just automatically just being a complete ass. Now, if there's one thing we know, is that Odin is a dick, but he's not usually an ass as well. So it gives me an idea here of what's actually going on. And it also gives me an idea of what's going on with Nick Fury. Now, I'm not going to say what it is right now, but I'm going to go out on a limb that Nick Fury was not Nick Fury, and Odin is not Odin. And I think that this is something that I'm going to watch for this, because I have a feeling I know what's going on here, because we have two characters who are doing things that are completely out of character. And so I'm just going to pay attention to what's going on here. As far as I know, they haven't really revealed the you know, mystery of Thor becoming unworthy yet. And if they have, I haven't seen anything about it. So, you know, if anybody knows, don't tell me. You know, but I think I'm right. I think I'm right here. I think that neither Odin nor Nick Fury are what they seemed. So, anyway. Artwork, pretty good for the most part. I mean, I do kind of like the artwork. I do tend to like the sort of clean line style that this guy has. But some of the anatomy is a little wonky. And you know, of course, you know, Jack Kirby anatomy is also really wonky. But it's not consistently wonky. And that's the thing that bothers me a little bit about it. It seems like he's trying a bit to draw like Esad Ribic. Not a bad thing. I like the way that Esad Ribic draws. But I think that there's some improvement that can be made as far as the general proportioning of people. We have this weird thing at the very end here where girl Thor is lifting the hammer, and her right shoulder, which is the arm that's holding the hammer up, is about half the size of her left arm. And it's not a case of perspective either. You know, the shoulder, left shoulder, is extremely swollen, I guess you could say, on the last page of the issue. And unfortunately, there's a lot of stuff in the issue like that. Not crazy about the way the Lautenberg draws faces. It reminds me a little bit of some other artist. I'm trying to remember who. Maybe Barry Kitson or somebody like that. I think that's who it is. And the women all tend to have the same face. And of course, that was a Kirby problem as well. And it's a problem with a lot of other comic artists, is that they have very similar female faces. And Freya being, you know, this kind of squinched up face is kind of weird. And I don't like the fact that they've made the All-Mother Freya. Now, this is something we haven't really talked about, because we haven't covered those issues. Because, you know, Simonson pretty consistently showed Odin's wife as Frigg. Now, I understand, you know, mythologically there's, you know, possible things that Frigg and Freya may have been intended to be the same person all along. Apparently that's the tack that Jason Aaron has taken. But I tend to think of Freya more as a daughter figure to Odin and not a wife figure to Odin. And perhaps those of you who have better expertise of Norse mythology would be able to fill me in on that. But interesting issue. Not going to dismiss this. I'm going to try to keep an open mind about this comic. And I know I've said this before, I'm not the biggest fan anymore of Jason Aaron. I think he has a lot of bad ideas. And I'm, you know, as I've said before, I'm not crazy about the idea of Girl Thor to begin with. But I'm going to try to keep an open mind about it as we cover the issues, and try not to inject too much of my own opinion into the storytelling, at least. And we'll just kind of take it issue by issue and see how I feel about it as we go along. All right. So, with that, it's about time to wrap up the show for this week. Once again, folks, thanks very much for listening. It's good to be back. And, of course, if you want to email the show, you can do so. The email address is radiofreeasgard@gmail.com. You can also find us on the Facebook. Look for Radio Free Asgard on Facebook, and you will find us. And with that, I am back over the Rainbow Bridge, back to Midgard. And you will see me next time here on Radio Free Asgard. You have been listening to Radio Free Asgard, a production of Tom Harris USA Productions, which is totally responsible for its content. The Mighty Thor and all associated characters are mostly copyright Marvel Comics. The stories presented are done so for educational, review, and entertainment purposes only. No ownership is implied. The silly voices, however, well, they're all me. Musical selections from Eden, the Invincible Sword of the Elfsmith, are copyright Mots Vent and are used with permission. If you like what you've heard on the show, we hope you'll leave us a review on iTunes, tell your friends, or even join our Facebook group. We really love hearing from our listeners, and we appreciate all of your support. Thanks once again very much for listening to Radio Free Asgard.